Blog Talk Radio.
You made a fool of me, but the broken dreams have got to
my friends, the way the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Mondays through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come join our Wild of Lou and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Sullen Art with Richard and Neutron. and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Come fill my eyes with open poetry on Friday. And every other Friday, join Gray Eyes as he howls at the moon in the Canadian wilds with his edition of Bad Company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Join Victoria later on this evening as she brings you the hearts of LNP. And take a walk on the wild side on Tuesday and join Neutron and Tapas, the After Midnight Bombers, on Wednesday. And Thursday's a split between delving into a world of strange magic with Incoherent Dust and Black Lace Diaries with Mr. Scust and Mr. M. Friday's a split between Crawling Into the Dark with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of art sinner, art saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and just hang for the fun. Good evening, Pam. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. You know, it's been a busy day, and I'm looking forward to sitting down, relaxing, hanging out with you, hopefully some other cool poets. You know, I feel like you chose that song, Evil Woman, just to dedicate it to me. Isn't that right?
Oh, no, actually, it's the kickoff Halloween night, Halloween week, which starts after midnight tonight.
Yes, Halloween, LNP's Halloween week starts with Hearts of LNP with Victoria Frost, and that should be an awesome show, too. I mean, this whole week is just going to be filled with dark, creepy awesomeness. And, you know, I have to say I am looking forward to the poetry we have tonight to delve into. ELO, you know, I don't even know if I had heard of them until a couple years ago. I'm sure I'd heard some of their music. But I didn't know a whole lot about them until you and Mika introduced me to them. And then, of course, you know, once you get to hear their music, you're like, addicted. So, great choice for tonight.
Changing easy fit. They were the pop gang from the mid-70s through the 80s.
Yeah. The mid-70s, the 70s especially, seemed to be a time of a lot of experimental type music as far as sound goes.
Yes, nobody was afraid to dig. I think the Beatles kind of started that with the use of orchestral or string sections with some of their music, and it just filtered in along with then the Moog synthesizer came out in the late 60s. That started another trend. And people were doing different things with their guitars. And Jimi Hendrix was around doing his thing. And you had Jimmy Page running a violin bow across his guitar back in the day as well. So, yes, they were exciting.
Yep. Yep, so definitely a good time for experimenting and trying new things. So very cool, very cool. And I know you said in your contest that there were three guys who were the consistent members and one guy who did most of their songwriting.
Yeah, that would be Jeff Lynne.
Okay.
Yeah, he had like a 10 or 12 year run of a string of hits starting in the mid to late 70s through into about 86, and they broke up for a while. Got back together again, broke again, but yeah, I think they're still messing around here and there.
Okay, so they're still together like as a band, a group, but they're not doing as much as they used to?
Well, they've broken up a few times. Members have come and gone.
Kind of like a love-hate relationship.
When you spend that much time together on the road in the studio, things get tense.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine for sure. I'm sure that's been the bane of many a band that has had to work together in studios. And all right. Well, I have somebody to bring on, so I'm going to go ahead and bring on Kel. Welcome, Kel. Glad you could join us.
Hello, Pam.
Hey, Kel.
Hi. Rex.
Yes. And how's it going?
Yes,
it's
I'm here.
Going. And going, soon to be gone.
Well, hopefully not too soon to be gone.
No, just my memory.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
So, Kel, are you an ELO fan?
What?
Are you a fan of ELO?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
cool.
I am.
Do you have a favorite song of theirs?
Bring Me Down.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and I think Telephone were two of their bigger ones.
Yeah, I like how with the Telephone, they actually have the sound of the telephone ringing in the beginning of the song. I thought that was a really clever addition to the sound of it.
Yeah. I have to listen to it again. But yeah.
Yeah, they don't play it like they used to.
It's been a while since I've heard them. Because I, you know.
Yes, it has. You gotta find an oldies but goodies station nowadays.
Right, exactly. I listen to a local station. And it plays a variety of different music, but in the mornings, there's a lot of the newer stuff. So it's just, I don't really get to hear the old stuff as much as I would like to. But I,
right. You almost have to go to, like, YouTube or something like that, you know, to get to listen to the music that you want to listen to.
Oh, we got one station here that revs up a Harley, and it goes 95.5, and the ride. And they play nothing but 60s, 70s, 80s music, nothing but.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we have channels like that, too. So I haven't actually listened to the radio in years, but I know we used to have those kinds around here that played the good oldies music.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I do is turn my radio on. I like to start my day with music.
Yep. Music and coffee. Or I always say rock and roll and coffee. That's how I start my
day. There you go. Yes, ma'am. Although I don't really care for some of the heavy metal stuff that you like. But, you know, to each his own, you know. My brother was
absolutely
really deeply into Metallica and stuff, you know, and, you know, no big deal, you know. I'd listen to it, you know, as long as he didn't mind listening to my, you know, classic rock or country or whatever it was I was into at the time.
Absolutely. Diversity is a wonderful thing when it comes to music. Right, Rex?
Yes, it is. The only thing I don't like is opera. And that's mostly because
I don't
understand what you're saying.
Me, I don't mind. I can listen to music where I don't understand them, like in different languages. The only thing with opera is sometimes it just gets a little too high-pitched for me. It's a lot of it that pitch.
Yeah, I don't like that soprano. It just kind of grates on your nerves. Yeah,
right.
That sounds
exactly
like disco.
staying alive. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, no, that era. That era, I'm glad it died a horrible death.
All right. Well, what did you say, Rex?
On one of them.
Well, let's get kicking then.
All right. First, I'm going to put our carryover from last week. This is I Am Ugly, Am I Ugly, by Suprava Patra and Kel. Will you give that a read for us, please?
I would be honored to. Am I Ugly? So by Suprava Patra. I ask this question to myself every day, and each day I just want to delay. Is it really my fault, or in my mind I am just lost? The more I try to fit, the more I want to quit. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to convey. These fucking beauty standards have tied my nerves in braids. But I think for a moment, my beauty might be within. Don't assume because I am ugly, I am not worth anything. And poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, kick it off.
I really like and appreciate the raw honesty of this and how she asks the question. I like that it touches on this important subject of, you know, social beauty standards and how we view ourselves and how oftentimes our self-esteem is connected to how we feel about ourselves physically or how we think others perceive us physically. First of all, looking at her picture, and I'm assuming that's her, I think she's just absolutely a beautiful young lady. The thing is how oftentimes others can see yourself as you as beautiful, and you just struggle with what you look at, because it's something that our mind is like set oftentimes into that idea of, you know, low self-esteem and beauty standards. I really like that she says these effing beauty standards have tied my nerves in braids. I thought nerves in braids rather than frayed nerves or, you know, in knots was really a cool way to express it. I thought that was different, and I like when people take a different approach with their imagery that they're trying to convey. So just... And also the ending line was great too. Don't assume because I'm ugly, which she is not, in my opinion. I am not worth anything. Because there is a strength of character and the whole idea that what your value does not come from your looks. Your value comes from your spirit and from being a good person. I just think this is an excellent write and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Kel, you got to read that, so what you think?
Oh, I agree totally with Pam. We look in a mirror, but it doesn't display the same thing as other people might see. You know, it's like our inner mirror. I think she's absolutely beautiful. That's her picture. Wow. but we all do the same thing. We all see something different when we look in the mirror, you know, and we portray ourselves as not being up to standards, which is really flipping sad, you know. Because we have, like she says, she has inner worth, and that means something. It really does. You know, the outside isn't near as important as what's on the inside. So this is a very well constructed and conveyed writing. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Kel. Well, I got a couple of thoughts. What was this? She did a couple of things. Offhanded rhyming, which I liked. Convey and braids was a nice touch. And then again, within and anything as just a little offset rhyme, which really worked. And there was the thought of, it's on those two age-old adages. Beauty is only skin deep. And... beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Those two offsetting things. And if you are looking in the mirror and looking at yourself, and we happen to be our own worst critics. No one else can be any worse on us than we are, but it's those sly, backhanded comments that you listen to and heed, which kind of fits with that that two-line fit here. The more I try to fit, the more I want to quit. The idea is don't try to fit. If they're not accepting you for who and what you are, then you don't belong with them in the first place. And the second, the more you try to fit, the more you're going to get frustrated trying to fit in. Just be whoever and whatever you are in yourself. Be comfortable in your own skin. And anybody who can't work on that angle, don't worry about them. They're not worth it. That's the best advice I can offer. Just trying to fit in never works. It means you have to compromise.
All the time.
All right, Pam, where would you like to go next?
Yeah, good point there, Rex, about, you know, anybody, about how trying to fit in never works. Great observation. All right. Up next we have Don't Kill Me Now by Brother Jacob. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Don't Kill Me Now by Brother Jacob. You got me running, running for my life. Hey, Michael, can we talk? Put down the knife. Don't kill me now. No, 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 no. Yoo-hoo. I'll tell you once more before I bleed on the floor. Don't kill me now. Why don't you party with your scary friends? I'll call your sister up and make a mess. Don't kill me now. No, 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 no. Oh, I'll tell you once more before I bleed on the floor. Don't kill me now. Whatever happened to the Myers boy? He used to be so full of joy, but now he kills. That's all he wants to do. Ooh-hoo. I'll tell you once more before I bleed on the floor. Don't kill me now. Will you have sweet dreams tonight? Or will Freddy come and give you fight? Don't kill me now. Freddy, stay out of my dreams. Ooh-hoo. I'll tell you once more before I bleed on the floor. Don't kill me now. Don't take a dip in Camp Crystal Lake. Jason's there, it's a big mistake. Don't kill me now. No, 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 no. Ooh, I'll tell you once more before I bleed on the floor. Don't kill me now. And boom. Nicely done, Jacob. I like that. Wasn't expecting it, but I liked it. All right, Kel, why don't you kick that one off?
Definitely. You're more than welcome to sing mine. Awesome. I really like this. It has a dark humor to it. And, you know, bringing in Freddie and Jason and Michael, you know, just really legends of our horror industry. You know, this is really awesome. It was fantastic. And you sang it really well.
Thank you, Carol. All right, Pam, how about you?
I really like this. And I'm glad you caught on pretty quick that it was a parody. Because when you started singing, I mean, it was a great, you were reading it well, but my goodness. And then you started singing in it. And that was like just fun and spot on, and definitely added to this. I have to say, you know, this is a spot on parody. Yoo-hoo makes me think of that chocolate drink that I don't even know if it's real milk or what it is, but that chocolate Yoo-hoo is in a box. But wonderful dark humor. I love the references to Michael, to Freddie, to Cam, he even brings in Camp Crystal Lake. Don't take a dip in Camp Crystal Lake. Jason's there. It's a big mistake. Don't kill me now. I'll tell you once more before I bleed on the floor. That's an awesome line. The only thing that would have made this great is if he could have fit somewhere in here about teenagers having sex and getting killed. And that would have been awesome. But I just love the references. I do like that line. I'll tell you once more before I bleed on the floor. Very cool. Excellent, right?
Thank you, Pam. I did like the flavor in this. It's dark and it's funny, and it's full of sardonic irony because it hits on all those tropes of, yes, the cabin in the woods, the house upon the hill, last one on the left. It hits on all those tropes of, yeah, the kiddies go in there, they run to where the chainsaw is on, and they go down by the lakeside where they surely will die. Obviously, but that's the ease of taking on those three movies. The first few were great. They outlived their usefulness when it started getting 4, 5, 6. Oh, yes, Freddy takes on Michael in outer space. Yeah, that's going a little bit too far. But the originals were good for what they brought to the table and the fun that was had in watching those tidbits of gore. And this works right along that with some really good dark humor. Thank you there, Jacob. That was a blast.
Yeah, I have to agree. Some of those, when they do like multiple movies, it gets to a point with any any one of them that it seems like they start to go too far with how many they're trying to cram in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gotten to which I can't even watch any kind of teen horror movie without thinking, oh, my God, not another one.
Well, they've lost their originality. You keep making the same thing. People go, ah, crap. I've seen that way too many times already.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to see no more of that. Okay, so there are a bunch of stupid teens and the pretty one is saved. So, you know, we know how it's going to end. You know, okay. I watched it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis, she was only 18 when she starred in that movie, and she was known as the Scream Queen.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I like Jamie.
Yep. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, it was.
Where do we go next?
Up next, we have Wizards, Lizards, and So Much Light by Eric Swenson, and we have a SoundCloud for that, so... Let me mosey on over there and push play.
Wizards, lizards, and so much light. Big universal brain in the galactic center knows everything. Proactive, high intelligence directs musicians. Certainly, history proves this intuitive kind of scientific fact. Hold on tight to your breeds. Press the play button. All systems running. Immediate recall. Volume decibels dance. Woofer goes greyhound crazy. 1981 plunges back down like space capsule in life's ocean. Jet engines blasted full throttle, swift lift, takeoff, tilt, last fly by over military base. Ordered myself a double whiskey. Good boy Lollipop served his country for 2 years. Free at last. ELO blared over the plane's intercom system. Blonde beauty hostess knew how to organize. Captain gave her permission to toast returning military boys. Always been crazy for jet speed, flying high. Between sips of whiskey, drags on camel cigarettes. Good ship Lollipop 727 became ELO Dream Machine Theater. Hold on tight to your dreams. C, big universal brain in galactic center, channeled ELO to welcome weary soldier boys back home. Like Egyptian slaves, we built huge megalith dreams during those dark, classified South African war days up in Angola. Dream temples stood tall in the Valley of the Kings. As medical officers, my team had seen enough heartache to refill the Aswan Dam many times over with tears. Big golden key waited back home, turned 21 in August of 1981. Family celebration for the prodigal son's return. Wizards, lizards, and so much light. When all is said and done, not by power nor by might, but by grace alone, I returned home alive to live out my dreams. End poems.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam. Batter it. Pam.
Okay, I'm sorry. My phone wouldn't, the screen wouldn't light up so I could push the mute button. I really like this one. I like how he has, that it pays tribute to ELO, but it pays tribute to the time period when he listened to the music and what it meant to him. Let's see. Press the play button, all systems running, immediate recall. Volume, decibels, dance, woofer goes greyhound crazy. I like the reference to the woofer speakers and the idea of plunging into that space capsule. It's almost like this poem is part of a time capsule. ELO blared over the plane's intercom system. Bond Beauty air hostess knew how to organize. Captain gave her permission to toast returning military boys. I know he's written before about his time in the military, and I always feel like there's such a heartfelt honesty and a beauty in how he brings us back to those times and how he connects music to that time period. And I think that's why both personally for people and as a society historically, music connects so much of us. I really like that, where in the end stanza he says, family celebration for the prodigal son returned. I like the reference to the idea of him being the prodigal son. When all is said and done, not by power nor by might, but by grace alone, I returned home alive to live out my dreams. That is just it's a powerful ending because, it reminds us that there is not a single one of us that necessarily lives and survives by our own might, but rather through a grace. And there's a humility in those end lines and a celebration of life. And I really enjoy and appreciate this write. It's very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I was going to basically say the same thing to some extent. I love the personal narrative, the story he puts behind it and how he responds to it with the music from that time. And it's just his wording, as always, is very amazing. He has such a way with words. He was like, Egyptian slaves, we built huge megalith dreams during those dark classified South African war days up in Angola. And I really like the end, celebration of coming home. It's just brilliant. It's classic Eric, and it's very beautiful and well written. I love it.
You're right. He's been dropping quite a bit in with the music angle and his life over the years. I got to hit that opening stanza, kind of hits on that note to God, so to speak, universal brain. Then that note, hold on tight to your dreams. And that next stanza, press the play button, all systems running, immediate recall. 81 plunges back down like space caps on life's ocean. Kind of like he's been drop back into life again once more. And then the thought with the jet, I like the good boy lollipop served this country for 2 years, free at last. There is that notion, 2 years and a survival event. And then the ELO blaring over the intercom system. Then again, more sips of whiskey. And that 727 becomes an ELO dream machine theater, which is a nice note of actually getting out of, because the next stanza hits on the 2 years spent in Angola. Not a very nice arena back then. That was kind of brutal, especially that end for that stanza. As medical officer, my team had seen enough heartache to refill the Aswan Dam many times over with tears. That kind of tells you how bleak it was, and how the music up top finally showing that way home was a kind of nice tone of relief or rebirth, so to speak. And Big Golden Key waited back home. There's a nice touch, a key to the city, so to speak. And then the Wizards, the thoughts of Wizards, I mean, it's kind of thinking of Harry Potter returning from his fight with the bleakness, and not by power, not by might, but by grace alone, return home live, live out my dreams. The light that kind of hits on that notion of walking out of that darkness in Angola back into the light of normality. All right, Pam, we're coming back to you.
All right. Up next, I'm going to go ahead and put your poem, Kel, which, by the way, did you notice that the numbers on your poem link, the last three numbers are 666?
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. No, I did not. Oh, God, I hate those numbers.
Yeah, look at that. Now we all know now we all know that Kel's the evil woman that they're singing about.
That's right. I wish I had known before. I would have wrote to that instead. Well, anyway.
All right, well, your poem is up.
Not Your Clown by Kel Smiles. I'm not funny, feel like running, not in shoes too big for my feet, I'm not your clown, ha 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 ha, whoa, 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 tell you again, I only want to be a friend, I'm not your clown, I'm not your clown, whoa, I'm not your clown, whoa, I said, maybe Rex should sing this. How does it go when I'm on the ground, I'm left laughing on my own? I'm not your clown. Ha, 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 ha. Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell you again, I only want to be a friend. I'm not your clown. I'm not your clown. Whoa. I'm not your clown. Whoa. I'm not your clown. Whoa. I'm not your clown. What is your issue with my silliness? Someday you'll understand my willingness. Ha, 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 ha. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Tell you again, I only want to be a friend. I'm not your clown. I'm not your clown. Whoa. I'm not your clown. Whoa. I'm not your clown. Whoa. I'm not your clown. I'm doing good in my clownish suit. Evidently not good enough for you. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Okay. Repeat. And poem. I think it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be when I was writing it. Anyway.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. We're back-to-back on the Don't Bring Me Downs. Going in two
right?
Totally different back-to-back, almost back-to-back.
I like it. I like it. I have to say that this is so spot on in its lyrical flow that even with you choosing to just read it instead of singing it, it still sounded musical. Your reading had a wonderful beat to it. By the way, love the creepy clown picture, the it picture that you decided to put with it. Very cool. I like that you went with the repetitive line of, I'm not your clown. Like, I refuse to be what you want me to be. I refuse, you know, to bend over backwards for you. I like that you have this question in the middle. What is your issue with my silliness? Some days you'll understand my willingness. Ha, 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 ha. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Tell me you tell you again, I only want to be a friend. Well, I tell you, you should only want to be a friend with somebody who has an issue with your silliness, you know, because that's just one of the best parts about you. And, you know, I say if somebody accepts and understands anyone's sense of humor, then that's not the person you should be more than friends with. So I liked that. And I really just all the way through, it had, a nice beat, a nice flow, some wonderful dark humor, and a strong choice for a repetitive line. So very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. I, too, like that picture of Pennywise. It does give a nice creepy effect, just like Brother Jacob did with his three. So you went kind of with the same thing, but it's kind of gives you that, Tears of a Clown feel. I'm not your clown. You rolled in the woes in that, which was a nice touch. I like that. And then you held them out, going down much like the song. So you stuck true with the song and drew it out a little bit more. And you ran in with the nice, what is your issue with my silliness? Someday you'll understand my willingness. And I like the third you went with a ha, 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 ha as the retort for that angle, rolling with that thought because it fits with the clown motif. And sometimes we don't see, they've always got that big painted smile on their face. But most of the time, they're not real happy people to begin with because they spend their lives making everybody else laugh and forget to laugh themselves.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very nice comments from both of you.
Oh, what was that?
Very nice comments from both of you.
We try our best to give nice comments. So most of the time we succeed.
Yes, you do. You do very well. You keep me inspired.
Thank you, Cal. I'm glad to hear that. That is
Eric's
actually
on
one
the
of
board.
The Yeah. I that's awesome. Awesome to see him. Happy Monday. Yeah, I suppose it must be Monday where he's living.
Yeah, it's about 4.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is
12 hours ahead of us, I think, something like that.
They're about 12 hours ahead. Yeah, maybe more.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I can't keep up with it anymore. I used to have it on track, but not so much now.
Do they run the same time like Australia? If they do, that day's about 14 hours.
He is in Australia.
No, he's in South Africa.
Is he?
I'm pretty sure.
South Africa.
Well, he does. I know. I believe somebody told me before he travels a lot, but I think I've been told that he's from South Africa. Yeah.
Awesome.
I could be wrong.
He doesn't sound Australian.
Probably. All right. Well, are we ready for the next poem?
Sure.
All right. Up next is I'm Living in Twilight by Rooster Cogburn. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
I'm Living in Twilight by Rooster Cogburn. Hey, wish you'd pick up. Telephone numbers worn. Callous digits, ditto. Want to tell you, I'm so lovelorn. Spill the beans, my guts, pick up that telephone, pretty please. Bring, 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 Christ Almighty, answer, I'm on bended knees. The love you gave was true, wallowed in glory, hippo boss, trophy babe, me, beach master, testosterone, ego, crestfallen, my loss. Wilder, fury, heavyweight champs, I'd bust them up together, easy, but without you behind my back, Samson's hair shorn, gutless, sleazy. Blue days, black nights, I miss you. So guess, deep down I know, lady. Hurt, a four-letter word goes deeper. Took you for granted. So sorry, baby. I look into the skies, I see your eyes. Like Halley's Comet, beautiful, cold. Speeding light years away, irretrievable. I'm living in twilight. You're not mine to hold. End quote. All right, Kel, why don't you kick us off with a thought?
Oh, wow. That was kind of melancholy. That almost makes me want to cry. Very sad. Yeah, I can't. I really like this. Was it the fourth verse down? Wilder Fury, heavyweight champs, I'd bust them up together. Easy, but without you behind my back. Samson's hair shorn, gutless, sleazy. And it's got a nice rhythm to it, but I really like the reference to Samson's hair. That was pretty cool. But yeah, I think it's a very melancholy poem. Rather haunting, actually. And well done.
Thank you very much, Cal. All right, Pam, how about you?
Well, as always, he's spot on with his rhyming. I like that he went with a picture of a kind of older style telephone. Very cool there. I like the use of touch phone numbers worn. You know, the whole idea. I like that he puts that line in there, and the whole idea that the numbers have been dialed over and over again. Wallowed in glory, hippo boss. I don't know what a hippo boss is, but I like the phrase. I just have I feel like I have a vision of a hippo in a mob boss suit or something like that. I also like testosterone, ego, crestfallen, my loss. I think that's probably very relatable to a lot of men. And I also like that he brought in Samson. Samson's hair shorn, gutless, sleazy. Like the whole idea of being betrayed by the woman. You know, giving your deepest secrets to a woman and then being betrayed by her, like Samson was betrayed by Delilah. Let's see. I mean, there's just like a lot of clever lines here. I have a great reference to I see your eyes like Halley's Comet. That was a really cool reference. You know that Mark Twain actually was born the year Halley's Comet passed across the sky and died the year it came across the sky.
Which one? It came across many times.
What's that?
Which year it come across many times?
Whatever year he was born, whatever year he was died, because it comes like once every 75 years. I mean, I don't know the exact years. I just know I've read before that Mark Twain was born on a Halley's Comet year and died on a Halley's Comet year.
Yep, but every 75 to 76 years.
Yep. And I like his use of the little tear emoji. I thought that added nicely to it. So, you know, just a nice write all the way through and very well done.
Absolutely. It was, as Kel put it, melancholy. But you kind of hit on that thought of, well, if you're dipping in for the trophy babe who's got a hippo husband, some things might just go awry. But she's probably just flicking around here and there at that point. The Wilder Fury thought with the Samson stance, I thought that was good. But I did like the last one, the hits. I look into the skies, I see your eyes like Halley's Comet, beautiful cold. Boy, does that kind of hit on the real note of it all. Because Halley's Comet's nothing but a mass of debris covered in ice. So that's some really cool stuff to finish out the speeding light years away on the back end. Big old drift in that motion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's great observations there, Rex. And you and Kel are right. You know, if you're going to be messing around with the trophy wife for the hippo husband, well, then, yep. There just might be consequences.
Yes, she finds somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly. Find yourself your own hippo wife. Or something like that.
Yeah, that didn't quite work out.
All right. Up next, we have The Flames Keep Burning Higher by Martha Gettle. And we do have a recording for that one. So here we go.
The Flames Keep Burning Higher by Martha Gettle. I can't get you out of my head. You are a hunger that must be fed. Every time you light the fire, I'm burning in helpless desire. You burned a hole in my soul. Without you, I'll never be whole. You got me turning in your flame, and I'm screaming out your name. Babe, I can't get you out of my head. I'm always thinking about the things you said. Your touch lights my desire, and the flames just keep burning higher. Baby, when you whisper my name, you set my whole body aflame. Then when you kiss my lips, it's into paradise that I slip. Babe, I can't get you out of my head. I'm always thinking about the things you said. Your touch lights my desire, and the flames just keep burning higher. Love is a whole new game with you, and I'm barely making it through. You got me jumping through hoops, I know, but baby, I could never let you go.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what you got? You busy playing with that damn phone again? We're gonna get ignored.
I should be right back.
Right,
I thought
Pam,
you were calling on hell first.
Well, I am now since you decided to go wonky. Cal, what'd you think, Cal? Go for quiet in here.
Let me check on Cal, are you on mute?
Yes, I am. I was talking to myself.
Damn, and that great answer you were gonna give up too.
I know. Now I have to read. I really like this. Martha kept it in tune all the way through. Absolutely beautiful. And the lyrics were amazing. You know, this is one of my favorites of hers. I really liked it.
Absolutely. Yeah, she kept this nice and tight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pam, now you can speak. Where once you decided not to.
What and what is this about me going wonky? Like, what exactly do you think I was doing on mute? Like,
some sort of wonky idea. I figured you couldn't get the damn screen up to light up again. You press the button on the side of the phone.
I have to say, I really enjoyed this. I did have to step away, so I didn't get to hear all the singing, but I always enjoyed her voice. And I agree with you. You said that she kept this nice and tight. There's wonderful rhyme and flow to this. I like how she has that kind of burned a hole in my soul. Without you, I'll never be whole. And how she did the two different versions of the word whole. So it was kind of like a nice word play. And, babe, I can't get you out of my head. I'm always thinking about the things you said. Your touch lights my desire, and the flames just keep burning higher. It's just really, really, this is an excellent song all the way through. And I like how it has a kind of a sad feel to it, because there almost seems to be this whole idea of the person you know, being gone or wanting to go, but there's still that kind of that passion, that desire that's there for them, that the idea that you haven't let them go. I thought there was a clever line at the end which says, you got me jumping through hoops. I know, but baby, I could never let you go. I like the line, you got me jumping through hoops, because I feel like that line there has kind of a classic 1960s, 1970s love song feel to it. I feel like it's something that could be sung by the Jackson 5. But it's an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, guys. She played a little clever little game with this. I can't get you out of my head. You are a hunger that must be fed. Every time you light the fire, I'm burning in helpless desire. So she gets that sort of, with the flames burning, it needs oxygen and fuel. So that sort of must be fed. It's on the note of playing all the way through it. And what was it? Another one that, you got me turning in your flame, and I'm screaming out your name. There's a kind of almost a wicked note in that thought, those two lines itself, the kind of the bad boy angle, always the desire being to tame that flame, but the flame eats you in the meantime. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. Up next, I'm going to go ahead and put my poem up, which thankfully is not a parody, so reading it is not an option. All right. And this is Throats of Genesis.
That'll disappoint Jeremy.
I know. He just keeps hoping. Well, I tell you, if he dishes out enough money to LNP poetry anthologies, I'll consider it. But until that time, nope. All right. And it goes like this. There's a daughter in the ocean. There's a daughter in the sky. A daughter on the train tracks saying her goodbyes. There's a sister of the moon. There's a sister of the sun. A sister of the broken tracks pulling out a gun. There's a mother by the well. There's a mother by the flame. A mother on the subway. We all forget her name. There's a girl with a petticoat twirling in her shoes. Another with a ragged doll. Both can sing the blues. There's a mistress of horizons, a matron of midnight. Throats of Genesis swallowing the light. There's a femme fatale within the filigree. A pair of worn-out stockings hanged on the Judas tree. There's blossoms in the air, spikes upon the sand, whispers of the blood passed from hand to hand. There are pieces of currency formed from living clay, pebbles on the shorelines that create another day. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Cal, what'd you think?
Wow. I'm not on mute again, am I? No.
No,
okay.
You're here. I could have said yes.
This is really amazing. I don't even know where to start. I love it as it goes from daughter to sister to mother, and then there's two little girls, and it's just, wow. It's just really, the references to the female forms, whether young, old, mothers, daughters, femme fatales, you know, it's all there. There's a blossom in the air, spikes upon the sand, whispers of the blood pass from hand to hand. It is like a familiarity to all of them. And throats of Genesis swallowing the light. That's just makes me think of, you know, Eve, the mother of all. You know, it's just really a beautiful, beautiful poem. I can't even, I said, I don't even know where to go. It's gorgeous. Well done,
Thank
Pam.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well said, Cal. Thank you very much. Oh, you hit on me. See, I got to go down here. A pair of worn-out stockings hangs on a Judas tree, and there are pieces of currency fall from living clay. Then the femme fatale. It sits on betrayal, the stripping of femininity, so to speak. And it just keeps on going. And it's both metaphorical and real in its thought because of the offering from the ocean to the train tracks to the moon, the broken tracks, the subway, forgotten entities, those that are left by the wayside, having that which is theirs taken away from them.
I like that. Thank you so much, Rick.
You're welcome. All right. Where do we go now?
All right. Up next we have Half as Happy by Naomi Sarah, and we have a SoundCloud for that. So I'll find that and push play.
Half as happy. She has pockets full of wisdom, a sure step in her way, the look of the good devil, pupils the shape of hearts. She's courageous as the spring, like a plowman of love, who sowed in his time. I don't know when we last saw each other, really, but from time to time when I'm feeling down, I phone her up, hey gal, how's it going? And she'll say something to me like, you know, hon, the earth is a player of tricks. A Sunday you're on top, a Monday you're deaf. Life is just a game. If you stop playing, you stop being happy. And I feel the season slowing down. Nothing's changing, nothing's new. Because without her, I'm half as happy. Like those last days of autumn, when leaves of trees falling start flowing with the stream to get lost forever inside the ocean. And wanting to feel her through the telephone line, I'll phone her up again. Hey gal, how's it going? And she'll say something to me like, you know, hon, everyone wants to get old too fast. A million years is worth less than one day of freedom. I feel less old when I think of us. And I want to tell her she makes me dream of summer, skies alight with blooming stars, leaves making love to each other just for the kick of remaking the world. Tell her to come on over, because without her, I'm half as happy. And without her, I drift into cold, dead winters. Tell her that without her, I am just half as happy.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, you get the lead off.
I think this is just absolutely beautiful and heartfelt. I like how she was inspired by the song Telephone, but instead of taking it in like a romantic or broken heart type way, she takes it in that way of that friendship. You know, and I'm not quite sure if this is a mother, but I don't get that impression though. But I get an impression of a friend who's older than her. And I like that. I like how she starts out with, she has pockets full of wisdom, a sure step in her way, the look of a good devil, pupils with shape of hearts. You know, there are some people, they're just fun to hang out with, and they're filled with wisdom. And they have, and especially when you make friends with somebody who's older than you, you find that, you know, they make the most interesting conversation. And I like how she says, the earth is a player of tricks. A Sunday you're on top, a Monday you're deaf. Life is just a game. If you stop playing, you stop being happy. And I like that whole idea of that, you know, that life is filled with the ups and downs, and you just have to keep playing. You got to keep having fun. And, I mean, this whole poem is amazing all the way through, but I like how it captures the emotions and the sentimentality of really having good old-fashioned phone conversations and that wish that you could just be there hugging that person. So, you know, just a wonderful write and very well done.
Like you said, Dan, thank you. And Kel, how about you?
Oh, goodness gracious, yes. This was beautiful. All the way through. I love the dialogue between her and her friend. It's just amazing. Her wording, you know, I feel the season's slowing down. Nothing's changing. Nothing's new because without her, I'm half as happy. I love the inflection that she puts into it and the emotion. It's just really well done. And it's a very, very beautiful poem.
Thank you very much, Kel. And you're right. It absolutely is. Remember that commercial for, what was it, AT&T back in the day? Reach out, touch someone. Crappy commercial, but it got the point across. It would have been better off using one of these inflections in here. You know, hon, everyone wants to get old too fast. A million years is worth less than one day of freedom. I feel less old when I think of us. It's a nice touch to offering up something like that as a phone, as reaching out through the phone lines. Pretty cool. Just the sense of contact and the sense of happiness in that contact in the moment kind of hits that note when someone's feeling blue. The thought of, like those last days of autumn when leaves of trees fall and start flowing with the stream. You get lost forever inside the ocean. Nicely drawn thought to digging into the conversation, enjoying themselves. This is a well done piece. Thank you, Naomi. All right, Pam.
All right. Well said there, Rex. And up next we have ELO Song Sing Along by Cassandra Kay. And Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. ELO Song Sing Along, Cassandra Kay. I hear an ELO song and I sing along. So many to choose from. My favorite ones are on the Xanadu soundtrack. It's no lie. Believe it. It's no lie. I watched their videos. Saw some talk show interviews. Some believe the movie is bad, yet the songs are really good. It's no lie. Believe it. It's no lie. All over the world, I'm alive. Don't Walk Away. The Fall are some of my all-time faves. It's no lie. Believe it. It's no lie. I love them all. You don't have to agree. I think it's obvious. They have such talent. Not just songs on this album. Those are just my favorites. It's no lie. Believe it. It's no lie. I love them all. End poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got for us on this one?
Oh, I really like this. You know, first of all, it's good to see a name I don't recognize. So I'm guessing Cassandra hasn't written for us before or hasn't written a whole lot, and I'm seeing her for the first time. So
I believe
that's always,
Cassandra is very new to this
very
angle.
Very awesome.
Me too.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, I love seeing new names, new faces. You know, I like that very much. So I have to say welcome to her. And, you know, you can always tell. I like the first person point of view, and you can always tell when somebody is writing about something they enjoy. And you can tell by the fact that she says that she likes to sing along to ELO songs, that she really enjoys them. Because, there's music, all kinds of music is good, but the songs that really mean the most to you are the ones that make you want to belt out and sing along. I really like that she says even that her favorite ones are on the Xanadu soundtrack. I also like that she says you don't have to agree. Because as we were talking about earlier at the beginning of the show, you know, everybody has their own taste in music. Not all, everybody's going to agree on what is good music and what isn't. And so I thought that was a great line to put in there that fit really well with the poem and with the topic. I like that she does put in there, I think it's obvious they have such talent. You know, I find that line to me has some humor in it because, you know, it's kind of like when you really like a band and you, other people don't. It's like, well, can't you see what's right in front of you? Isn't it obvious to you how talented this band is? So really just a wonderful write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Cal, you got to read it. What did you think? Do you know the movie too?
Yes, I did, but it was a very, very long, long time ago. I was thinking it had Olivia. Olivia Newton-John? Yeah.
Michael, somebody run that. Gene Kelly was in it.
I don't remember that. I almost had to watch it again. It's been, you know, like 30-some years since I've watched it. It was a good – I thought it was a good movie. You know, Olivia's, spreading her wings away from John Travolta and, you know, the theme of Grease and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I loved the enthusiasm that she puts into this. You know, you can truly believe that she loves ELO. There's no doubt in my mind, you know. It's no lie. Believe it. It's no lie. Just the interest that she's put into it and into their music, not just their music, but their lives and their interviews and the videos and everything, that's just really cool. You know, it's nice to, to have a fan base. And she is truly a fan. So that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Kellen. Yes, you're right. Some believe the movie is bad, yet the song's really good. That was the difference between the soundtrack itself and the movie. It came out in 1980. The movie only made $23 million at box office. Yet the soundtrack did really well across the world. In fact, she had two hit songs out of that. Magic went to number one in the U.S., and Xanadu went to number one in the UK. I think that was 81 when the soundtrack got released. The talent was there on the soundtrack with the music. The movie might have been a different angle, and it was definitely something. It was a niche kind of movie, really. And they might have been better off but anyway, like you said, it was one of her stepping out from behind Travolta and that Grease angle a couple of years earlier, and she let her musical angle talent show, and she did pretty well after that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
All right. I have put up A Conversation of Unspoken Thoughts, Part 1, by Roger Zadernian. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read, please.
All right. A Conversation of Unspoken Thoughts, Part 1, by Roger Zadernian.
(Clears throat)
As I listened to each one in the exact order listed, it helped reinforce a theory of mine that persisted. For a very long time, I've always wanted to share my own unspoken thoughts. So please, So please listen to the songs listed first and not as an afterthought. It may just help you see I'm not crazy at all. As the title infers, this poem is most certainly about just that. It's my prediction of thought talk becoming mankind's new chat. Can you imagine it? We can hear one another's innermost thoughts, especially the deep, dark ones that's hidden away rather than being thought. So until that day comes, just ponder this scenario. It hasn't happened yet, but what if they already know? Now just picture seeing the two people, male, female, or a mix of each, and they meet to discuss something, neither of them practicing what they preach. Sitting across from each other, they begin to speak, and now we hear what either of them dare not speak. Quotation marks would highlight their unspoken thoughts not said aloud, and now we know why. That future may hold a very dark cloud. So please, sit back and listen as these two lucky, unlucky people speak. Then they stop upon realizing there's no longer any need to speak. Now the scene opens with a warm, beautiful spring day. He and she are seated at a lovely sidewalk cafe. They just recently met up again, ran into each other after many years. Quite by accident, but they stopped and exchanged numbers and tears. They were lovers, but for just a brief while, then something happened, and the love lost its style. Not because their sex, romance, and passion fizzled, it never did, but just because something eerily sizzled. A strange magic happened to them one eventful day over the telephone line. Their minds heard words neither did say. So it was some sort of a living thing with a special connection that's now forming. And in time, strangely enough, they both said, I can't get it out of my head. Just imagine hearing another's voice from whose mouth not a word is said. Perhaps they couldn't handle it, and that caused them to be alone, as those memories now made them both equally turn to stone. Then it happened, they both said aloud what the other was thinking, and that did it. The relationship was over, and both left without blinking. Now, many years later, they sit across from each other and are about to speak. But guess what? Into their unspoken thoughts, you get the first peek. At this point, should I continue? The poem may seem to be a bit long, so I'll stop here, and in part two, promise to finish it just as strong. And boom. That was different. And Kel, why don't you kick us off? What'd you think?
Okay. It's different. That's definitely different. I love the references he put into all of the different songs. And the storyline between these two that were lovers once but now aren't, and coming back together again but realizing that it's still not quite right. It's just, it's rather puzzling in some ways. But it's a very interesting ride. I've got to say, I liked it. I'm just not sure why.
That's good. I like that. Thank you very much.
All right, Pam.
All right, Pam, what you got?
Well, first of all, I have to say, having those videos in the middle would have probably thrown me off. So I'm glad this one was assigned to you. But first of all, you know, I do like that he made it, that I'm going to have to make sure to check out part two because part one has me intrigued. I like the use of the song titles by Electric Light Orchestra. I thought that was really cool. And I do like that he provides the songs. I kind of wish that he provided them after the poem, but I understand, you know, why he did it, because he wanted people to have the music in their head as they were reading the poem. I like that this is about communication, and I like the phrase Can you imagine it? We can hear one another's innermost thoughts, especially the deep, dark ones that's hidden away rather than being fought. That is an interesting thought to imagine. I mean, it's very much like it brings up that issue of what if you had no privacy? Because I will say in all honesty, I am glad people can't read my thoughts because I would not have many friends. Plus people would know how perverted I am. So, it would be like, yeah, there's just some things you keep to yourself. So please sit back and listen as these two lucky, unlucky people to speak, then they stop upon realizing there's no longer any need to speak. Now the scene opens with a warm, beautiful spring day. He and she are seated at a lovely sidewalk cafe. I like how he brings in this old-fashioned imagery into a rite that is very science fiction in its atmosphere. And I also like how he used the song title Turn to Stone with these lines. As those memories now made both equally turn to stone, it happened, they both said aloud what the other was thinking, and they did it, the relationship was over, and both left without blinking. Like he keeps saying in this poem, just imagine it. Imagine a world where you don't even get the joy of getting to know somebody by asking them questions. A world where a relationship ends just as quickly as it started. I think this is a wonderful, thought-provoking write. I'm really looking forward to reading part two. Oh, and I also wanted to say I really like what Robbie had to say on the board. He said that it reminded him of that old proverb, a wise old owl sat in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like that wise old bird? And I have to agree with Robbie. I think he made a really great observation there that it does kind of have that tone of that proverb. So, great, right?
Thank you very much, Pam. Well, he did combine the thoughts of the music from ELO along with George Orwell's 1984. And this is 5 years old, and they were just starting to talk about the next generation of evolution for humanity by plugging people into the internet and the chips going in and the being plugged into hive mind and knowing everything and anything across the world at any given time. So there is that note that walks along with us. That's not the real end of evolution. That's kickstarting something which doesn't walk along the same trails of evolution, although this does hint a little bit to maybe mental telepathy. But with the 1984 angle and the fact that you've got this ELO was big for that spaceship they got on their albums, so this walks that science fiction angle that is actually coming true and what they want to do, which is chip everybody so they're always connected. And that's not a very a healthy thought to actually getting into knowing everybody, because then at that point nobody's going to want to know anybody, and you'll never be able to find that quiet piece of the world where you can have a conversation with yourself without somebody else listening in, which is kind of what this walks into. And yeah, I'd like to know what the second part of this is, because it scared the shit out of them originally, and they split because they're walking into uncharted territories, walking into each other's minds. And that can be a very ugly point, especially if you hit on something that was not meant to be hit on to begin with. All of a sudden, no thank you. But I'd like to see where this one goes as well.
Well said, Greg.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah, I think every guy out there would probably die if his wife or girlfriend knew exactly what he thought of the new dress or the new hairdo that she had just gotten. I think there would probably be a lot of fights and face slaps.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't. It wouldn't be pleasing to anybody on either side.
Yep. Nope. That exactly. That's for sure. All right. Are we ready for the next poem?
Yeah. Where are we going now?
All right. Up next, we have Summertime Starlight by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Entwined 29, magical universe kiss, summertime starlight, warmed by your heart's fire, electrical lighting strikes, sets my soul ablaze. Tie me up in cords, melodically rewind, cruising time machines, ring upon my heart, chase all my teardrops away, raining from deep blue. Entwined 29, magical universe kiss, summertime starlight, warmed by your heart's fire, electrical lighting strikes, sets my soul ablaze. Swirling symphonies, I'm lost in your sweet blue eyes, pulsates to your voice. Crashing waves within rise so high, only to crash, tumbling before you. Entwined 29, magical universe kiss, summertime starlight, warmed by your heart's fire, electrical lightning strike sets my soul ablaze. Strewn upon the shore, dazzle me with your charm. Love me, keep me warm. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Betty took telephone line. This one's a bit easier. Kel, what'd you think?
I like it. I really do. I like the repetition in it. It almost feels like it feels very musical, rhythmic. I get kind of lost, though. Entwined 29. I'm not that just threw me. And I kind of lost the
I don't know what that is either. I have the slightest idea.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I got stuck on that, and I lost my focus in the actual writing, and that I don't like doing that. I like swirling symphonies. I'm lost in your sweet blue eyes, pulsates to your voice. The wording is really beautiful, and loving, and I just got lost in that. I'm sorry. But yeah, I like it. I really do.
Thank you, Kelvin. The 29 might be the last two digits on the phone number itself. And
yeah,
the entwined, thinking
that.
About the cord on the phone itself, because this kind of goes back a little bit in time. How about you, Pam?
Oh, yes. 29 is out, actually. The 29th position of the 100 positions offered up in the Kama Sutra for sex is number 29, the balancing act. Although it could be.
Betty, you
slimed
on.
I didn't
know that.
But
well,
I'm just saying.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
I think I can see Kel blushing from here.
Oh, I can feel the heat.
But I think this is absolutely a wonderful write. You know, she I like the way she repeats some of her lines, so it has a song-like quality. I like that she makes references to the telephone, like with lines with ring upon my heart, Chase All My Teardrops Away, Raining from Deep Blue. I like that because it's the whole idea that just even getting a phone call from that person can mean so much to you. I'm lost in your sweet blue eyes, pulsates to your voice. And I like how she used the imagery of the crashing waves. There's something very seductive about that. I think this is a wonderful sensual rite, but I think it's also this kind of rite that has a sense of loneliness to it, to where you just want to not only to hear from that person, but to be able to touch that person and to look into their eyes. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you very much. I wouldn't have gone down that alley, but Kama Sutra, okay. I'll bite it. Yeah. This kind of hits on the thought of phone line itself. Electrical lightning strikes, tie me up in cords, methodically rewind, cruising time machines. There's that step back in time. And again, she hits on electrical lightning strikes again. And again, because it kind of hits on that notion of talking over old phone lines, not these cell phones, but over landlines where the electricity courses through with your voice across the line. So that's where I got out of that. But I'll have to ask Betty. Is 29 with the Kama Sutra, or was there another meaning behind that little number there, Betty?
Yes, that's definitely a question we need Betty to answer.
All right,
and
where
and
are we going
be placing,
now?
We should be placing a bet on the answer. Like, you know, if I win, you sing, and if you win, I sing.
Robbie says, Kel, you blew out his speaker, and he knows what he's looking up tonight.
Get out of that one.
All right, where's my copy of the Kama Sutra? Where's number 29? Ooh, I didn't know anybody could do that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm pretty sure most of those positions would throw my back out. But, all right. Moving on to the next poem. We have Last Train to London by JEG325. Laughs at the idea of someone saying I'll bite after mentioning Kama Sutra. Yeah, I laughed at that too. That was funny. All right. So up next we have Last Train to London by JEG325. And Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
I'd be proud to. Last Train to London. Rain pelted down on a chilly city as I was waiting in the ticket line. Rumbles of thunder shook walls, sounding like some biblical sign. Yes, I was running like a coward, the clock striking midnight inside, trying to swim across an ocean that was as deep as it was wide. Over the intercom, I could hear, "This is your last train to London. Grab your tickets. Well, the last, only 10 left for you lucky ones." Through flashing lightning, I saw you standing outside the window, accusing eyes, wanting to know why I walked out and let you go. A guilty conscience drowned me, water flooding both eyes freely, hands racing around my watch, frames of a movie only I could see. Then I heard the conductor call, "All aboard, last train to London," as I seated myself in the back, wondering to myself how far would I run. End poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got?
I really like this one. I always like Jed's poetry. but I have to say this one particularly appeals to me. I like the way he describes in the thunder, the rumbles of thunder shook walls, sounding like some biblical sign. I thought that was just really an excellent, strong line there. And I like how he says, through flash and lightning, I saw you stand outside the window, accusing eyes, wanting to know why I walked out and let you go. There's a real strong emotion within those lines, and it's a great ride all the way through. I do like, though, that he repeats all aboard, last train to London, and you, I don't know why I keep saying London. Jeez, that's horrible. But it gives it a really authentic feel. And I also like, I thought it really added to the depth of the poem to have the person seat themselves in the very back. Because oftentimes when you hide in the back, when you don't want, you want to hide from people. You want to hide and be by yourself. And that was a great question at the end, wondering to myself, how far would I run? And it's how far would I run? But it also feels like, how far should I run? How far do I need to run in order to escape these thoughts, in order to escape this guilt? So really just an excellent write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you. All right, Cal, you got to read that. So what'd you think?
Oh, yeah, very intriguing poem, with the storyline behind it. I really like that. I love poetry stories, probably because they make more sense to me. I was running like a coward, the clock striking midnight inside, trying to swim across an ocean that was as deep as it was wide. And it's just a really awesome writing. A guilty conscience drowned me, water flooding both eyes freely, hands racing around my watch, frames of a movie only I could see. Yeah, it's just, it's like Pam said, it's kind of like, you know, trying to run away from yourself, from your own thoughts, your own mind, your own guilt or whatever it was that happened that you felt he or she felt they had to run, you know, and get as far away as they could from whatever the problem was, whatever, you know, guilty conscience. Yep, duh. I see that now. Yeah, I even read that. So, yeah, I thought it was a very interesting poem. I liked it. I can't find where the prompt, what prompt it would be for.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is either.
Well, isn't it obviously the last train one?
AR7, yes.
Okay.
Duh.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Yep. Nicely said, you two. And, yeah, there was a nice story to this end. This could actually, it fits for song lyrics themselves because of the way they panned out. And they've got a nice flow to them because they're a little offset, too. They're not all sitting on the same level of continuity line to line. You got some a little longer, some a little shorter. So you get that nice little touch of where you want the tempo to flow with the music itself. And this reminds me of a Twilight Zone episode called Willoughby. This guy was having such a hard time in the city at his job that he took the train home every night. And in between, he'd kind of fall asleep, and he'd find himself back in a time 50 years earlier when everything was a little easier, and he wanted that. It made him feel so good because his stomach was always churning, and he was in such a really bad place. So that kind of had me running on that thought there, because this does walk to the line of needing to get away from what is around here. He calls himself a coward, and the thought of leaving her, despite the water flooding both of her eyes freely, the guilty conscience hits on that thought. It's kind of And he offers up that thought in the last stanza, on that last stanza, frames the movie only I could see. There's that kind of note also from an old noir movie of seeing someone off the train or off on a plane and knowing they'll never be back. And then you've got the interjection with the conductor call, all aboard, last train to London. And there it is, that notation itself. Just how far will I run or need to run or have to run at this point in time? Doesn't know, but he knows he's going to. All right, Pam. Coming back your way.
All right. Well, before we head on to the next poem, I did want to mention, because she's been so wonderful tonight, that Kel does have an awesome contest running for people on Alt Poetry, featuring
Hotel California.
The song, yes, one of the best all-time awesome songs. So I'm hoping, Kel, that you get some more rights for that. I know I have it bookmarked. I just got to find the time.
There's plenty of space. I've only got 3 entries so far, which really surprises me. But thank you for mentioning it.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's an awesome contest, and I really appreciate you. All right. So up next, we have we have your poem, Rex. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Streamed Awakenings in Beyond Pet Lumens. Ra's marmalade menstrual paradox gleams illustrious in rarefied air. Midsummer forms shake and bake. Those bare bellying, rattle and roll, Neanderthalic limbs, herky-jerky undulations, crowding fondue exploratories, writhing syncopation. Come children, rap on perception's door. See in that tactile, palazepan of self-folding into wild dervish shirocos, blent from high and low clefts. Fendered, aqua movements beating August drums, crescendo neath Luna's marzipan breath, as Bia and Pet reigns in pineal streams, salting out Himalaya's awakening. And pump.
Great read there, Rex. So glad somebody found that poem for you to read on the show. And and Kel,
yes,
your
one
thoughts.
I said didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. The one, you believe that, Kel? Yep. I told him earlier today. I said you need to put your poem that you wrote in ELO song onto the board for tonight, and he said, I didn't. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm sure. I never did. So I went and I looked it up, found it, and sent it to him and said, yes, you did.
I say, good show. Good show. Okay. I sent some sarcasm in this. I'm not sure why. But I do. I sense some sarcasm in this. Better bellying, rattle and roll, Neanderthalic limbs, herky-jerky undulations, crowding fondue, explorations, writing syncopath. I'm not sure, okay? I'm really
not
sure.
No, I've got no problem with that. Yeah, I do.
To me, like I said, I sense a lot of sarcasm and possibly some humor in it, because that's you. But also, is there something about it, I can't quite place why, but it's like saying to, especially to the newer art, youngest generations, you know, like the teenagers and stuff now, you know, you should go back and listen to the real shit, because, you know, the stuff you've got and this herky-jerky undulations that you're doing, just doesn't quite do it. So, you know, wake up and, you know, listen to the real stuff. Maybe.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that,
Kel. I really do. I'm just kind of lost.
Oh, I don't think you're as lost as you think you are. You do make great observations about the poem and about Rex in general. He is well known for his humor and the bite within his humor that has that sarcastic touch to it. He is definitely one that can tell people off in a way that is poetically beautiful. So I really think you had an excellent comment there. And yeah, that part where, you know, the undulations, it reminds me, like, was it back in like the 90s, I think, was the early 2000s, or what, they came out with that song Tootsie Roll, and like, I don't even, you know, but they used to play that nightclubs all the time, and it kind of reminds me, or like the Macarena, like there's always these like fad dances coming out, but
or the
What the hell is this? Oh my gosh, my teenager tried a couple years back to teach me how to dab. I couldn't do it. But anyways, I think we're getting slightly off track. But I really like how you start out with the sun god. And I mean, instantly out, you're like kicking the door down, strong line right out of the gate. Ra's marmalade menstrual paradox gleams illustrious in rarefied air. And I like how, you know, you have a male god, Ra, but then the menstrual paradox I thought was really cool. And wonderful use of, you know, making your words move, like the word undulations. Very cool there. I also like how you come, children, rap on perception's door, the reference to the doors of perception from that one philosopher whose name is escaping me. Which philosopher was that made reference to the doors of perception?
Blake. William Blake.
Yeah.
Aldous Huxley.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I thought that was a really great, and I really like aqua movements beating August drums crescendo neath Luna's marzipan breath as biped pets rains and vineal streams salting our Himalayas awakenings. I like how, you know, it's like there's almost a call to people to awaken, to stop walking around blind in their perception. Wonderful use of imagery, and as always, just very well done. And Rex, was there anything that you wanted to say about your poem?
The opening two lines are, it's all about color. It is about Ra, yes, the sun. Marmalade is nice orange thoughts. The menstrual paradox is just offering a touch of red to that orange in the sun. So you get that, the thought of something special, something different.
I like that, you know, and I like how it can represent the color, but there's always, you do this so oftentimes with your poetry, is you have a layeredness to it. Like you feel like that it represents the color, but could also have a deeper meaning, like the paradox between the male and the female.
Yeah,
Very cool.
Do that on purpose. It just comes out that way.
Well, it's really cool the way it just comes out that way. I like that.
All right, thank you, girls. Where are we going to go next?
Well, next is my poem that I wrote 2 years ago. To which yellow song? I don't know. I forgot. But it was in the yellow song. And this is Kite Strings Tempest Tossed, and it goes like this. I burn the sacrifice upon volcanic rims, spitting ash, tempest-tossed kite strings and hurricane hues glowing. Play for me the songs of brass comets, speaking to each other in a language of crystal roads and crested waves, deep breaths dwelling on thumbed through pages of living symphonies where life climbs to the flight beyond tide pools. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Cal, what do you think of this?
Wow. It's interesting. I like the coloration you put in it. Upon volcanic rims spitting ash and hurricane hues glowing. You know, that's pretty cool. And play for me the songs of brass comets. It kind of makes me think of cymbals and drums and stuff. It's just really awesome. Crystal roads and crested waves, deep breaths welling on them through pages of living symphonies. Oh, wow. I really like this. It's, like I said, I love the color scheme and the idealization behind it. It's really quite beautiful.
Thank you so much, Kel.
Thank
you.
Let's see. I burn the sacrifice upon volcanic rims, spitting ash, and offering up something to the gods at the mouth of the volcano. Spitting ash kind of hits on the notion of you spitting ash, anger. Tempest tossed kite strings and hurricane hues going. Again, that hits on the note of anger, maybe the mind lost in that hurricane whirlwind. The brass comets speaking to each other in the language of crystal roads, crested waves, kind of hits on that looking for something beyond the burning desire to be that kind of harsh, looking for something to cool the tempest. But the tempest does get cooled within the next stanza. Deep breaths dwelling on thumb through pages of living symphonies. There's that idea of sitting down and taking the time to walk past everything and thumb through a book that has already been well read but needs reading once more.
I like that. I like that. Very cool. Obviously, 2 years ago, I was a very angry person who just needed to sit down and relax and listen to some poetry.
It must have been a really rough time.
Yeah.
I never think things like that.
Right? Oh, man. But, no, I have to say, that was the last poem. I don't know if anybody has a quick one they want to throw right on to Late Night Poets and read, that would be fine.
In answer to your question earlier there, Cal, from Eric, from southernmost tiptoe point of Africa, a poet glistens that poets of LNP dream the impossible dream, then do wide awake windmill mind generate greater soul energy, keen clear voices glide down the megabyte highway. Have a superb week, LNP Galaxy Hitchhikers.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it, where he was an hour ago, it was time here is 4:43 a.m. So he's, 4:43 a.m. an hour ago. That would have been around 11. So he's got 6 hours? Okay.
Well, that is, he is just so fun, and I really just appreciate him. But I was going to say, before you wrap up the show, Rex, I do want to give a shout-out for Halloween week, which gets kicked off in a half hour with the Hearts and Valentine with Victoria Frost, the theme being the Haunted Library. And I want everyone to please keep an eye out on the contest and or topic boards put up by our amazing hosts and hostesses, because we have a whole week of Halloween-themed shows that are just going to be great fun to listen to and to call into. And Rex, this was an awesome show tonight, and thank you, Cal, for being here.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up on my writing.
Yeah, it's Halloween all next week. All this week.
Yeah, it's a good week to catch up.
Yes, it is, especially if you like Halloween. Have some fun. We got kicking off tonight with Victoria's and running it all the way through next Sunday. I get to close it out with the thoughts of picking your own song to do either a parody or a rewrite on it, whatever you want, as far as kind of make it Halloween-y, whatever song you choose.
Cool. I don't think I've seen that one.
That sounds fun to me.
Well, I did give a few suggestions, like, you know, Running with the Devil, The Monster Mash, Sweet Transvestite, Don't Fear the Reaper. But I said I even dropped my own in there. I took The Sound of Silence and turned it into Zombie. So you can pick any song you want. Just have fun with it.
Awesome. Well, I'm really hoping that you write for that one, Rex, because I just really enjoy when you do a song parody. And you can tell Jeremy, if I write a song parody, you can tell Jeremy, okay, tune in, because Pam's going to sing on this show.
Yeah, that'd be worth it.
Right? Send everybody running. And I believe, Rex, you're going to have an awesome After Midnight show. That contest is actually pretty much filled, but of course, you know, we always accept, you know, rights on the board if people want to call in, and, you know, it's just going to be great fun. What else we should mention is Wednesday's show, The Art of Seduction. Gene is Fill My Eyes is running a contest for that, Trick or Treat, and it's got a lot of really fun pictures. And I think this is going to be a great Art of Seduction, because it really gives you the opportunity to play with the idea of you know, fun and costumes and candy. So definitely going to be a great week.
And what else we've got? Richard's got a gothic Halloween.
Yep.
And you've got the album cover art.
Yes, the heavy metal album cover art.
Faye's got Monstrous Seven Deadly Sins.
Yep.
And
some good ones,
all kinds of good ones. So, looking forward to them all.
Definitely.
Yes, for sure.
All right, gang, join us in a half an hour for the Haunted Library with Victoria.
Sounds good.
All right, gang, great show. Good evening, and have some fun. It's Halloween week.